Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are our source of help, the one we look to, the one we depend on. We pray this morning asking that you will cause us to hear a word from you, a word that will guide and direct us, that will illuminate our path and deliver us from taking any decisions or making any moves that will lead us into a mess. Thank you that the entrance of your word will give light and will bring understanding to the simple. I thank you for everybody who is listening to your word at this time. You know them. You can see them wherever they are. I can't. And you know, Father, what they need to enrich their lives. Through your word today, let them receive wisdom. Let them receive the enabling power that will cause them to see a change in their lives. I thank you, Father, this morning, in Jesus' mighty name. Let the people of God say, Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you, and you may be seated. Hallelujah. Welcome to church. And this morning, we want to finish up the series on consistency in our Christian experience. Is that what I've been sharing with you? All right. So consistency in the Christian experience. I believe this is the third week, and I'm trusting God to finish up today. Amen. When you become born again, and when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, you are ushered into a new life. This is what we are describing as the Christian experience. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So it's a new life. It's a new experience. And there are certain things that are needed in order to do well and in order to be successful. One of them is consistency. And I have defined what consistency is on the different occasions I taught on this. But in summary, consistency is when you set out to do something and you stick with the principles, the practices, the behavior, the attitude, and the routines that will help you to achieve that thing without quitting. So this is a summary of all the different definitions of consistency that I gave to you. I'm going to take it again. It is when you set out to do something and you stick with the principles, the practices, behavior, attitude, routine, etc. that will help you to achieve that thing without quitting. So the underlying truth about consistency is you stick with certain things and you never stop. That's what it means to be consistency. And I want to emphasize again that for us to do well in this Christian experience or in this Christian life, one of the things that we need to run with and to stay with is consistency. Everybody say consistency. Say it again, consistency. Hallelujah. Now, without consistency, you can never be successful in anything that you're setting out to do. And people who are successful are people who are consistent at something that they are doing. Without it, you will not succeed. This church is where it is primarily by the grace of God. But there are other things also that have helped us. And one of them is being consistent in what we set out to do. If you think it's been easy getting to this point, then you do not understand what church work entails and the different battles you have to fight, the different obstacles you need to deal with, the different challenges that you need to overcome. It's not an easy thing, but by the grace of God, we have stuck with certain things, and we thank God for how far He's brought us. Now, the grace of God, consistency, and other things have brought us this far. If we want to carry on to the next level, we must maintain these same things. Like the songwriter said, 'tis grace that has brought me safe thus far. It is grace that will lead me home. Consistency is one of the things that will lead us to a higher dimension. And I pray that you will stick with the good things that you are doing until everything that God has determined concerning you is manifested in your life. Can I have a loud amen from somebody? Amen. Hallelujah. So we've been looking at key areas that we must be consistent in our Christian experience. Because the Christian experience has to do with different things. There are different areas and there are different aspects to it. And all these different key areas require consistency. Otherwise, you will not do well. So we've looked at a number of them. The first one I shared with you is prayer and waiting on God. We must be consistent in prayer and waiting on God. I explained to you that our prayer and our waiting on God is an indication of how much we are depending on Him. And it is also a sign of our faith in Him. The truth is that many things that we try to do using natural might and power do not really carry us as far as we expect. And many of us have encountered disappointments and frustrations in trying to do things using our own strength and might. And I want to get you to understand very clearly that there is a certain point that you will get to. It will become clear to you that my own strength, my own might, my own effort cannot help me. Hallelujah. And there are many points like that you will arrive at in life. So when we pray and when we wait on God, we are expressing our dependence and our reliance on Him. Look, a Christian experience, it is not an easy life. Anybody who gave you the impression that it is an easy life, it's a ride in the park, you know, experience, and everything is going to be fine, everybody's going to like you, everything's going to work out well, you're always going to have money in your pocket, everybody will be nice to you, everything you set out to do will work out very well, and all those interesting stories. It doesn't work out like that. It doesn't. And Jesus made it clear that it is not an easy life. That's why He said, if anyone is coming after Him, he or she must deny himself or herself, take up his or her cross, and follow Him. And a cross is a symbol of pain, of struggles, of rejection, and of shame. Then look at it also from this other perspective. You are contending with an enemy who can see you, but you cannot see him. So the Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. These are spiritual beings and very formidable. And small, tiny you is contending with them on a day-to-day basis. How do you stand a chance of winning if God doesn't help you? So when we pray and when we wait on God, we are turning to Him for help. And it's so important. That is why Jesus spoke a parable to this effect, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The Bible also says that we should pray without ceasing. Understand also that when we talk about praying, there's an individual aspect of it where you pray on your own, and then there's also the corporate dimension to it, and both are essential. And I'm stressing this for those of you who feel that once I pray on my own and I pray by myself, I don't need anybody else. And I don't need to participate in the corporate prayer times that are organized by the church. You are thinking wrongly. There is what the individual prayers do for you. But there's also something else that only works out through the corporate prayers. Both are essential, and you need both to do well in this Christian experience. And I want to urge you that moving forward, make it a point, especially, let me not even bring in especially, otherwise you will get me wrong. I want to stress again that both are important. Do both. Don't have one without the other. But the area that is of great concern to me, you see, when we talk about the times that you pray as an individual, I'm not in the room with you. I don't even know whether you pray. How can I know? As a man of God who says he's an angel and all of those things, so he flies all over the places and he sees things. I don't have that grace. I'm no angel. But for me, your participation in the corporate prayer times helped me to see that quata quata some prayer is going on. That is why I am greatly disturbed when I don't see you or feel you in the corporate prayer times. Because as for your individual efforts, I'm not a see. I can't see it. But if I can see you participating consistently in the corporate prayer time, I can tell myself that at least some prayer is going on. Even your presence alone in the prayer time speaks volumes. So when we have the virtual prayer times, I mean, there's nothing that tells me whether you are actually really praying. But at least I see your emoji. When we put up the point, I see your emoji. And I've tried to beat that thing by introducing the voice chat. Yes, and some of you have decided that or can't then here or yet then here voice chat and men gain. Because at least with the voice chat, and when you get into the voice chat also, I encourage, do not mute your microphone. Let's hear your voice joining in the corporate prayer. I'm saying all these things to explain to you that it is important that we pray consistently. The individual prayers are excellent, and the corporate is imperative. Both must be done. And may God help us to wait on Him and to pray consistently as we go through the rest of the year and beyond. Did somebody say amen to that? The second key area that we must establish consistency in is in reading and meditating on the Word of God. I shared that with you. Is that not so? All right. Again, it is one of the areas that we must strive for consistency in. Because of the powerful effects of the Word of God on the Christian's life and in the Christian experience. Is that what you're teaching? The Word of God? You're already done. You're already done with that, yeah. But I went through a season where we were teaching that. But the Word of God is very key, very fundamental to your Christian experience. And it has a lot of powerful effects and benefits. So, for example, the Word of God is what gives us wisdom. Look with me at Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4. It says, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures refer to the Word of God. Is that not so? Then look at what he says after that. and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. The scriptures give us what? Hope and encouragement. How can you survive in this life without hope? How can you survive the Christian experience without hope, without encouragement? And that hope and encouragement, one of the major sources of it is the word of God. Not just that, comfort. The word of God gives us comfort. It gives us hope. It gives us encouragement. And many other things. The word of God gives us wisdom. I was going to show you the wisdom one. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 to 17. Just a little digression to show you that the word of God is important. It has some powerful benefits in our lives. And there's a need for us to be consistent in reading and meditating on the word of God. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 to 17, Paul was writing to Timothy, and this is what he said to him. You have been taught the holy scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom. What has given him the wisdom? The Holy Scriptures have given him wisdom. So the word of God is a major source of wisdom. And I dare say to you that all the wisdom we need to excel and do well in life, it is the word of God inside. Not only that, the word of God teaches us what is true and reveals what is wrong in our lives. If you continue with the scripture I was reading, verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. We need truth. We need to know the truth. We need to know the truth about who we are. The truth about the Christian walk. The truth about the future. The truth about how to survive and make it. Now, Jesus himself said he is the truth. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he prayed in John 17, 17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God contains every truth you need for your life so that you don't live out a lie. The word of God reveals what is wrong in our lives because it's like a mirror. The Bible calls it the perfect law of liberty. When you look into a good mirror, there are different types of mirror. There are some mirrors, when you look into them, you look like a cartoon character. That's not the type of mirror I'm talking about. I'm talking about a correct, proper mirror. What you see is what you have. What you see is what you are seeing. You know that some people, when they take pictures, say that, hey, I pictured the ensemicra. Why are you facing the photographer that he didn't take the picture well? Mama and Kaba, there are some photographers also. They are some kwaspa. I'm taking the picture. The guy's head is looking like a mattock. But usually, if you are staring into a mirror, a proper mirror, you see yourself for who you are. And it helps you to correct things that are wrong. So verse 17 says, the scriptures, the word of God, correct us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Amen. So the word of God corrects us. So the more we stick with it, the more corrections are effected on our lives. Because we are some way and can be very, very some way. That's why when... Have you read the scriptures before and you're reading something new that, hey, adie we ekimio, or you come to church and then a word of God is being preached and then like the thing is choking you. Look, you can end up going to quarrel with your friend that your friend has come to tell pastor about your problem. Nobody's come to tell us anything. Because many times when we preach the word of God, it is by inspiration. And you find out that a lot of the things that we say, you can relate with them if we are preaching under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And these things come because God wants to correct us. And God wants to straighten us up. And the more consistently we stay with the word of God, meditating on the scriptures, the more we become better in life and better in the different areas of our lives. So ladies and gentlemen, we must be consistent in reading the word of God and meditating on the scriptures. So once again, your pastor is trying to help you to do this. And that is why every single day There are scriptures. There is a devotional to start with. There is a memory verse. What's the memory verse for today? Romans 1:16. Of course, they read it at the very beginning. Okay. So at least if you don't know it, cry, you know that they said Romans 1:16. And there are some of you, even when they put it up there, it doesn't stick in your head that the memory verse is Romans 1:16. Hey, it's not easy. It's there. And not just that alone, but we want to attempt to read through the Bible in a year. So every single day without fail, there are a few chapters in the Bible. If we follow them consistently, by the end of the year, we would have read through the Bible again. And remember, I've just shared with you the powerful effects and the benefits we derive from the Word of God. So can you imagine, you've read through the Bible a number of times. You've meditated on the scriptures. You will by all means be affected, and your life will be progressively better. So embrace all these initiatives that we come up with as a church. Embrace them, run with them, follow them, and you will see a remarkable improvement in your life. May your life become better than what it is currently, in the name of Jesus. The third key area is thanking God, praising God, and worshiping God. It's another area that a Christian must be consistent in. I told you last week that we thank God to acknowledge His goodness, we praise God to acknowledge His greatness, and we worship God to acknowledge His holiness. All right? You know, if you don't thank God and praise Him and worship Him consistently, you will consistently be somebody who complains and murmurs and laments and whines every time. That's what it is. If you don't use a lot of your time praising God, thanking Him, worshiping Him, you will use that time to talk about useless and unnecessary things. And a lot of the times you'll be saying negative things, because you must talk. You have to talk. So you have to make a quality decision of I will say positive things. Remember what the scripture said: death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat of the fruit thereof. You can use your mouth to administer death to yourself, or you can use your mouth to administer life. And one of the ways you attract life into your life is by thanking God, by praising Him and worshiping Him consistently, instead of always complaining. You know, one of the scriptures we looked at today as part of the Reading Through the Bible project was Numbers chapter 11. And it gives the account of the people of Israel. The Bible says they started complaining. They said, Yepenam, Yepenam, Yabresa Kaboi, this manna that you have given us, we've eaten manna like that, a manna and olive oil, manna and olive, we are tired. Then they started complaining, hey, when we were in Egypt, fish, cucumber, onions, garlic, those were the things we were eating. And then they had the audacity to say that we are tired of this manna. Complaints. And it's like they had quickly forgotten what life really was like when they were in bondage and captivity for 400 years. And they themselves cried out to God for a deliverer, and He sent them Moses. And with His outstretched arm and great power, He rescued them from the land of bondage and captivity. They saw what He did to the armies of Egypt. There was a major crisis in Egypt because their army was consumed. So now they had to get people, boys and girls, and train them to become new soldiers. But their armies were wiped out. They went chasing the people of Israel. Up to today, I don't understand. And I don't know where I'm going to see Pharaoh. You know,
But there's a question I want to ask him. I want to ask him, say, and to wage me. I'd ask him that, all your life, have you seen the sea parting before? You see some before? Should it not have told you that this road, I don't have to walk on it? They saw the people walking and said, we too, we are going some. They never came back. They never came back. And the people of Israel saw it. They saw it, as we say in Ghanaian palace, dole dole and feely feely. They saw what God did. The different plagues that came upon the land of Egypt because God wanted to rescue his people. Now, what are you saying? It's like so quickly they had forgotten it. But you see, what intrigued me when I read that scripture this morning, and I read those scriptures that are posted. Pastor James is the one who posts them, and in obedience, I read. But what intrigued me when I was reading it was that after their complaint, Moses also started complaining. Then after Moses complained, Miriam and Aaron in the next chapter, they also started complaining. What it tells me is that complaints and memory and whining, it is contagious. So if you realize that you are in a crowd or in an environment where there's always a lot of complaints and mourning and lamentation and whining, excuse yourself. Do what? Excuse yourself. Because it can affect you. So we must make a conscious decision not to become memories and people who are always complaining, always focusing on what hasn't worked, on the challenges we are going through. Let's deliberately, consciously, intentionally dwell on the things that God has done. And let what God has done inspire hope and expectation in your heart that he has done it before and he will do it again. Hallelujah! The next one. The next key area is fellowshipping with other believers. Did we talk about that? Hey! Dada Denyina! So that's the next key area that we must be consistent in, fellowshipping with other believers. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10, 25. And I want to read from the Good News Translation, if you don't mind. Hebrews 10, 25. It says, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together. As some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more, since you see that the day of the Lord is coming near. Let's focus on the first part. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together, of fellowshipping with other believers. Because the King James Version says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's talking about believers, Christians, people of God coming together for fellowship. What's the essence of it? To strengthen one another, to encourage one another, and to tighten the bond that must exist amongst us. And that can never happen if we don't come together. In this verse, it talks about the habit of meeting together. A habit is something that you do consistently. So we are being encouraged to meet together and to fellowship with one another consistently. Consistently. That means that all the church meetings, all the home cell meetings, all the departmental meetings, all the assembly meetings, we must endeavor to participate fully, and we must be consistent in showing up for all these meetings. And if you realize that you like to keep to yourself and you don't participate much in this coming together, know that it is something you have to work on, and you can work on it. There are some people, when you start talking about this thing, they'll say that sanamitie. It's like it's my temperament. The day we taught you about temperament, that is the day we realized that sisi asemno asekra. Because everything, my temperament, everything, I'm sanguine. So that I'm choleric. Let's talk about temperament. You know, I believe that temperaments are real and they exist. Every temperament has its strong points, and every temperament has its weak point. It is true that in a certain sense, we came with a certain temperament and with a certain personality. But understand this. As a Christian and as a child of God, God is expecting the best version of yourself. Which means that if there's anything about your temperament which is a weakness, through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, you are supposed to work on that thing until you become better in that area. And all of us must get to a point where people will now even struggle to identify what our main temperaments are. That's why there's something called spirit-controlled temperament. And that's what it must be for every child of God. Can I have an amen? So stop this thing of, that's how I am. That's how I came. You know, so it's like, I can't do anything about it. That's how I am. You can do a lot about it. So this thing of, I like to stick to myself, you know, people, and it's true that usually it is the people around you, the people you hang out with, they are the ones who are likely to hurt you. They are the ones who are likely to harm you. They are the ones who are likely to backbite, gossip, and all of these other things. But you also do some. don't you do same? Yeah, so what's the problem? You do, I do. You do, I do. Then we just move on together. So I'm just trying to get you to understand that consistency in fellowship and meeting together with other believers is paramount to your Christian survival. Don't joke with that thing. No. Don't joke with it. When I first became a Christian, this was the illustration that was given to us to emphasize the importance of fellowship. It said, imagine that there's a coal pot and it has burning coal in it. It's been lit and it is on fire, red hot, all in the coal pot. Now, when you take one of the burning embers of coal and you put it away, within a few minutes, it is reduced to ashes or the fire dies off. So the revelation there is that staying together, communing, having fellowship, relating with other believers, mysteriously helps you to survive. It keeps you ablaze. That's what it does. And that's why the Bible emphasizes that we must not forsake that thing. So there must be consistency in fellowship. There must be consistency in attending church services. There must be consistency in attending departmental meetings. There must be consistency in participating in assembly meetings. Why do you want to fight every effort that is being made for us all to become better people? Why do you fight it? And this is the battle that pastors go through all the time. Trying to get their church members to do the very things that will help them to flourish and do well. You say, come to church, yeah? Won't come. Go for outreach, we won't go. It's like, you know how little children say, give me, I'm give. Pam, I'm pam. Go, I'm go. And what it is that many of us have not grown. We are still like little children. There's still that struggle to get us to do certain, if you like, basic things that are essential for the Christian's existence. And one of them is fellowship. 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 But we will press on. I mean, we're not going to give up until we achieve our objectives. Hallelujah. You'll be tired before I'm tired. Yeah. We must press on with it.
Like one of the times of meeting together that is so important to me is what we are supposed to be doing at the beginning of the service, before the service itself starts. The different Bible schools, the Christian Foundation class, CFC, the Christian Maturity class, CMC, the Christian Discipleship class, CDC. These are times of fellowship, and the purpose of it is to deepen our knowledge of the Word of God. But it's a struggle to get most of you to show up for it. It is also part of the fellowship thing that I'm talking about. And the difference between those classes and a preaching like this is that when I'm preaching, like, you can't raise your hand and say, "Da, I have a question." You can't do that. We don't do that. It's improper behavior. But when we are having this Bible discussions, assembly meetings, departmental meetings, you can ask all the questions that you want to ask, and it will help you. Hallelujah. So I am encouraging all of us that we must be consistent in fellowshipping with one another. Amen. Tell the person sitting by, tell the person that you, this message is for you. And today there must be a change in you. Especially you. Put your hands together for Jesus. The next key area that we must establish consistency in is serving God and working for Him. Serving God and working for Him. There's a song we sing. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. Walking in the light of God. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a great thing to serve the Lord, and it is one of the key areas that we must establish consistency in. And by the way, there's something I was going to say that I just remembered. You know, talking about fellowship, eh? You know, virtual service, that is service that you do online and all of that, it has a role, a place. It is actually something that came to solve a major problem that we were confronted with in the year 2020. Because now there was a lockdown in many places, and the only way we could have church was to sign in virtually. So it has its usefulness, and it greatly helps. There are people who are in places where there's no church near them. There are people who are in countries where you won't find any church to attend. This is the only way you can have a kind of service and fellowship with the other believers, howbeit from afar. You are not in the same physical space, but you're having some kind of fellowship. It was never meant to be a substitute for gathering physically. Never. So let us not turn the virtual church services into something that it was never intended to be. Yes, there will be times when you will have genuine reasons why you cannot be physically present. I accept that. And we must be reasonable. Things happen, things come up. But it should never take the place of being physically present in the meeting space where your fellow believers have gathered and where you are supposed to be present too. Because sometimes you ask people, won't you come to church and may you online? Who here on Kev? Me here online. Let's just do online like that. Well, I just felt I should say this. Am I helping somebody? Or you bow? You bow. You know bow. I talk up.
And let me move away before I get into trouble. The next one is serving God and working for Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Where does the time fly to? I can't believe it. NIV, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Munjina Pintin. Let nothing move you. Look at the next statement. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Can you read it together with me? What does it say? Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Say it again with me. In other words, you must do the work of the Lord consistently. That's what it means. And what is the work of the Lord? The work of the Lord is anything that you do to help the kingdom of God to advance and to progress. Anything that you do, that's the work of the Lord. Whatever you do to help the church, that is the work of the Lord. And the Bible says we must do it consistently, and we must serve God consistently, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Malachi 3, 13 to 14. Malachi chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. New Living Translation. You have said terrible things about me, says the Lord. But you say, what do you mean? What have we said against you? And then God responds, you have said, what's the use of serving God? Now, when somebody says, what's the use of serving God? Another way of capturing it is to say that the work of God is useless. That's what they were saying. What's the use of serving God? And some of us have not opened our mouths to say this, but our attitude and our approach to serving God and working for God is echoing this statement very loudly, even though you are not saying it with your mouth. By your attitude, by your posture, the signal that you are sending to us is that you see that the work of God is useless. Because if it is useful, you will do it. If you really see it as useful, you will be actively engaged in serving God and working for Him. The fact that you are lackadaisical and laid back about working God and serving God is because somewhere, consciously or unconsciously, spoken or unspoken, you think and you feel that the work of God is useless. We must strive for consistency in the work of God. Whatever you can do. And everybody can do something. Everybody has something that you can contribute to advancing the kingdom of God. There's nobody listening to me today who is bereft of a certain ability or gift that you can use to do the work of God. Everybody has something. Some people may have more. Others may have little, but I always say that it is the little and the much put together that makes things work. Look at the whole pot of soup. Look at how much salt that you put in it. Choche salt. But it makes a lot of difference, such that if that choche salt is not in the soup, enkwanu yentume no. Try it. It's a very difficult thing. Pray that you won't go to the hospital and the doctor will tell you that don't eat salt again. You begin to curse him. Something small, but it makes a lot of difference. That's how it is. Every one of you listening to me has something that you can contribute to the work of God. So ask yourself, what contribution am I making? When you say that, people say, I give offering. But the truth is that even with the offerings and the tithe, and consistency no day day. So ladies and gentlemen, as we move forward, I want us to strive. We should strive to achieve consistency in working for God. Join your assembly properly. Join a department in the church. When there is an effort to reach out, do outreach, evangelism, and all of that, participate in that effort. Because it is a great thing to serve the Lord. And therefore, we must achieve consistency in that area also. I'm sorry, I said I was going to finish, but I don't think I can. Our time is up. Rise to your feet. Let us pray. We want to thank you, Father, today for your word. And thank you for the other things we have learned today. Key areas that we must be consistent in. Holy Spirit, help us to be consistent in fellowshipping with other believers. Help us to be consistent in serving God and working for Him. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You're here today. You don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you did, you will know that you know Him. If you're not sure about your eternal destination, whether you end up in heaven or hell, then the likelihood is that you do not really know Jesus as Lord and Savior. But I assure you that today you can take a step that will help you to develop that relationship with Him and to have Him as your Lord and Savior. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, close your eyes, please, everyone. You want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. Maybe you are not physically present here. You are watching the streaming or a late broadcast of it. And you know right where you are that Jesus is not Lord of your life. But I can pray with you today. And if you respond in faith to this prayer, you will have that relationship with Him. So if you're here and you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, as every head is bowed and every eye closed, can you lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you today. God bless you. If your hand is lifted, lift it up very clearly. Don't hesitate. Lift it up very clearly so that I can see you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you for lifting your hand. And if you're watching and you need Jesus right where you are, you can lift up your hand as well. God bless you for lifting your hand. And I want all of us to join in this prayer. Let's pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, today I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. Today I receive this Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. For the rest of my life, I will serve Him and I'll follow Him. Oh God, please write my name in the book of life. I thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' mighty name, and let everybody say, Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.